Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're going to start off with Chaplain John Durden teaching about the Holy Spirit. We want to thank all our distinguished guests that's listening to us. Without further ado, there may be no questions and answers. He has 2 hours to teach. He can either choose 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever the Holy Spirit lead him. Without further ado, Chaplain John Durden on the Holy Spirit. You got the mic.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Emmett. Thank you so much. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John. I'm a retired chaplain. For those who don't know me, time running by. I am presently 80 years of age. I can't believe that. I turned 80 back in November, November the 30th. Man, the time can really go by. Well, for those who don't know me, I got 3 master's degrees. The first one I got is when I graduated from college. I went to graduate school and got a master's in human resources, which means counseling. And as a result of my master's degree in counseling, I went from being an intern all the way up to the head minister. Not only that, but I became the recruiter for all federal employees. Can you imagine, for 30 years, I hired people for federal positions, ranging from $15,000 to $100,000 a year. After I completed 30 years, I retired, and then the Lord called me to the ministry. And there I am, going to seminary with a bunch of young fellows who were in their 21 to 26, and a couple of them was in the 30s. And there I was, a 55-year-old man, sitting up in there with most of the kids who were 27 years old, hoping to become a minister or pastor someday. Well, I completed it, and so I got a master's in Christian counseling when I was a seminary, and then I got a master's in theology. So I got 3, a master's in human resources, which means personal administration, and 1 in Christian counseling and theology. And as a result of the theology, God placed me into a hospital where I served for about 20 years. I've been retired now 2 years. And since the 2 years, I thought I'd be chilling in Florida doing something, but the Lord got me in the ministry, and I sharing and assisting Brother Emmett Overton with his ministry, which is wonderful. It's a great experience. So that's what I'll be doing on Tuesday nights. I'll be teaching the word of God. God bless you. Before I do anything else, let's see what I want to do. I want to pray. Let's just do that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I come before you now as your child and as your son. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom, and understanding. And in addition to that, Father, and Lord Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. Also, Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, may our minds, and I say our, that's myself and the listeners, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son. And I pray, Father, that your words bring salvation to those who need it, healing to those who need healing, and deliverance to those who need deliverance, to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. So it's my understanding, the majority want to learn about more information about the Holy Spirit, as opposed to spiritual demonology and spiritual deliverance and these kinds of things. We'll do that the next time around. So tonight I'm going to focus in on the Holy Spirit. But now I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a person, just like all of us, only he is a spiritual person, and we are a fleshly human person. Okay? He's a person. But before I do that, you got to recognize that when we do things, when we minister to others, visiting the hospital, visiting to our family, teaching our children, living our own life, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You're always in trouble when you get there and say, let me see what I'm going to do. And let me see what I should say to him. Let me see what I should say to her. Let me see what job I want to go to. Let me see this and let me see that. And let me figure this out. Figure it out. Well, that's your mind. That's wrong sometimes. God give you intelligence. He didn't make you a moron. There's some things that God wants you to use your mind. That's what he gave it for. If he didn't want it, he wouldn't give it to you. But I must tell you, serious stuff, sometimes elementary stuff, you need to check in with the Holy Spirit just to be sure that what you're thinking that he is in agreement with your decision, okay? Because you got to recognize, which was the hardest thing I had to learn, is I couldn't believe that thoughts that come in my head was from something else. I thought it, because it's my head and my brain, and I thought it was me. I didn't know, you know, my ignorance, because when I was in my little Baptist down in Savannah, Georgia, all I heard was, we have his written word. And what was pounding my head is that God doesn't speak to us nowadays verbally, you know, orally kind of a thing, come in our presence or come in our room and go, hey, champ, how you doing? That if we want to know what he got to say and what do you think about something that we want to do, we have to dig in the Word of God, our Bible, in other words, and try to find a scripture that relates to what we plan to do, what action we plan to take and these kinds of things. What job we want. We need to check with the Bible, see if we can find something as a clue in there about what God wants you to do. But the person who revealed that information to you is known as the Holy Spirit. He's the one. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides our thoughts. And he gave us a brain, and no harm in using it sometimes. But I'm talking about serious stuff, about who you should marry, what kind of occupation you should get. Should you marry this person? Should you go to this school? Should you pursue this occupation and these kinds of things? Man, that's the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to check with those, but not your mind, okay? Because your mind can go all kind of crazy ways. And that is the godly truth. But now, like I said, before we can do anything in our profession, anything in our calling, and before we can get any help from the Holy Spirit, we got to hear the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to send one just like me. It's time for me to go back now. I died for them. I served my purpose. And now the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, going to come when I leave. And he's going to serve as your counselor. He's going to be your counselor, your comforter. Until then, you keep putting me in prayer and these kinds of things. So I'm heading home. And God bless you. And then he was serious. He says, I'm going to send someone exactly a complete duplicate of me in words, thoughts, and deeds, because he is the Spirit of Truth. And he's going to be your counselor. And, you know, I didn't pay attention to myself. Counselor. Right. Nobody, I can't hear him. How are you going to be my counselor? You don't come here in my office or in my room and talk to me and stuff like that. Well, John, you need to do this. John, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. But I realized in my late years, in my 50s, that every time we think something, it's not necessarily our thoughts. It could be several things talking to you. One, it could be your fleshly mind. Your fleshly mind says, don't he handsome? I sure want a piece of him. Isn't she fine? I sure want her. I want some money. I'm having an offering in the church. I can steal some of the money out of the offering plate. Nobody will know. I won't touch the checks. I'll just touch the cash. I'm going to do some shoplifting. I want to get me a little hit. Nobody has to know. I can shoot up a little bit here and now and then. No harm to that. And these kinds of things. Well, you think that's you because you're thinking it. It's not necessarily so. It can be a demonic spirit talking to you like that. When you think in thoughts, you check it by the Word of God, okay? Because I got to move on. When you think in thoughts, it could be the Holy Spirit telling you what to do or giving you some information. It could be your flesh, because you got that fleshly desire. When you get saved, you find out you still desire some things you shouldn't be desiring. That's the flesh. So you just have to say, no more flesh, no more. We're going to do the Word of God. You hear me? So we got to do, like I said, sometimes the flesh talking to you. Sometimes a demon be talking to you, rape that person. You don't have to take that stuff, kill them. You can misuse her, make her think she loves you, man. You just want just knock it out and run. You're the man. Marry him. He can sure make you rich. Because, I mean, he's well off and everything else, and he can buy you everything you want. That's what you ought to marry him. See, and nothing say you ought to marry him because you're one in the spirit, that he's a man who loves to serve God, and so are you. You don't marry somebody because they got a $600,000 home or he's making $1 million salary because you have one messed up situation. See, so you got to remember, every thought, and you think that's going to tell, I'm so smart. I got this sucker. I'm going to get him and get him to marry me. I'm going to trick him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to trick my boss and I'm going to do this. Well, ain't nothing going to happen in your favor. You're working on your mind, and especially when it comes to casting out a demon. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you messed up because demons know that you're using your mind, that you're not following the Spirit of God, and that demon mess all over you. So we need to hear the God. And so God brought me to that attention. And I share that with you because this is important. Because, folks, you cannot live the life of Jesus. You cannot really comprehend the Bible, the Word of God, 100%, because we don't have that mindset. You got to remember, when we was in seminary, whatever school you went to, you were taught by a man or a woman, just got flesh like you. And when he teaches you, or when she teaches you, she's teaching according to what? His understanding. Did I say he's teaching you according to the interpretation of the revelation of the Holy Spirit? Did he say that? No. And what he's going to back up, I've been here 12 years, and I have a doctorate degree in this, and I have a doctorate degree in that, and I have a doctorate degree in those, and I got a doctorate degree in them. You got to remember, when the man doesn't mean any harm, the woman doesn't mean any harm. I mean, he or she's being real. That's what she really believes. Because if you've been taught by somebody, but you've been taught by somebody who's been teaching for 20 or 30 years, you'll figure that second know something, you know, especially when you're seminary. So you're going to take belief. But half the stuff, some of them, and some, it depends on who the minister is. Some ministers and some teachers know the word right on, right. I mean, right there, flip, along with the Holy Spirit. Then there's some who don't even have no relationship with the Holy Spirit and trying to teach the word, and they're teaching from their intellect. And your intellect don't cut it every time. Some of that scripture stuff has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you, I prayed and prayed and prayed. When I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, all I heard was, we have his written word. We have his written word. God don't speak us nowadays. He speaks us through the Bible. We have his written word. But thank the God, the Holy Spirit didn't let me accept that. I had doubt about that, but I couldn't have no proof of nothing, but I couldn't receive it. And finally, about 16, 17 years ago, I was praying about it. I mean, I was crying and praying about it. And the Lord led me to a book, and I read it and everything like that. Then I tried to do what the book say, and that didn't cut it. And so I said, man, I don't know. And then finally, I took the book again and read it and said, wow. And this is what I came up. You know what that book said? Because you have to know this if you're going to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speak to us as a person. But he don't say, Mary, Martha, come here. Sit down. Let me talk to you, child. You're doing this. You need to do this. No. He speak to you through thoughts. See? So you're going to have to distinguish when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do this. Yeah, go visit that sick. Well, I'm thinking about going to see that sick person. I don't know her that well. You know, she was just a neighbor. But the Holy Spirit trying to lead you to go, because then that lady or that visitor you're going to see can see that you're the real McCoy. And with the words that the Holy Spirit give you, will cause that person to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And who knows, that person was slated to die there the next day or that night when you leave. But you don't know, he's going to, I ain't got time to be going around there praying with folks and everything else. See, but that thought is not you. When you think about something that sounds kind of ridiculous or strange, something like that, that ain't you. That's the Holy Spirit trying to direct you to do something. And then when you go, you know, that's what I did. I did that with my father-in-law, my wife's daddy. And he thought, because he'd been sent up in that church for 47 years and been a deacon and everything, he was saved. But he was just a church member. That's all he was. And God sent me. And I said what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And he accepted. He said, I didn't know Brother John. I didn't know that. You know, I thought I was right. I've been to church almost every Sunday. I said, if you were just a church boy, that's all. So I led him to the Lord. And then a couple of weeks later, he died. And then the Lord said, he's in my presence now, you see. So you got to remember, if you don't remember, nothing else I said tonight. Every time you think of something about how you're going to resolve something or where you want to go or what you want to do, you make sure you check with the Holy Spirit and say, well, that you or that my mind, you know. And I got something else to tell you. Sometimes you get a thought to do something, he'll cuss me out. Leave me. I won't be my friend no more. Or they'll think I'm a hypocrite. Or they think I'm a religious nutcase kind of thing. When new thoughts come in, then you know that was the Lord, because because the devil trying to get you to do something that make you think is stupid. And when you get a thought like that, it'll make you stupid. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit. But the devil wants to jump in and say, oh, don't do that, Lord. Man, they don't think you crazy. They don't think you're some holy ruler. And tell me, yeah, I ain't gonna be somebody's fool. I ain't going there. And women or that man look at me and tell me, man, you stupid. Now, you're holy road. You're a religious fanatic. See, those thoughts come into your head, and guess what? That's not your thought. That, you know, that's the devil. Because the devil don't want you to minister that person. So the devil going to come in your mind and go, you don't want to do that. Man, you blow your promotion. You get fired. They'll talk about you. they'll mock you and everything else. No, I want to be glorified. I want to be uplifted. I want to look mighty smart to everybody. I want to look like some ignoramus or some religious fanatic. And the devil goes, and then the Holy Spirit says, my Lord, you know, kind of a thing. Now, this is so how the Lord brought me into this reality was he led me to a book that was in my closet, been there for about, I don't know, 10, 12 years. And I stumbled on the book and had something about the Holy Spirit. And this is, and then the Lord spoke to me and I started writing. And let me share with you what the Holy Spirit said, because for you to be truly a Christian, when you look at 1 Corinthians and all of them, a lot of it says you must hear the Holy Spirit. You must be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. If you're writing sermons, you should write. You check in with the Holy Spirit first and see if that's what you're supposed to teach or preach that day, because you don't know what your members are going through. And the sermons and the teaching he gives you will relate to the folks who needed to hear what you said. And you set it off a cup and, man, I don't know where I came from. And especially how you know when it's the Holy Spirit when it comes to, Pastor, I really enjoyed that sermon. It was like you were talking to me. I mean, me. I can't believe it. Like you know all my personal business. Well, praise the Lord. I give glory to the Lord. See, but what do you know? That half the hour, whole hour while he was talking, he was following the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. That's how the thing works. Okay? Now, let me tell you how he broke me in and let me know, say, I know you want to hear me, but there's some conditions you got to meet. And I'm going to say this to you, Joyce. He wants you all to know this, too. And then we're going to really get into the meat of the all the works and the mannerism of the Holy Spirit. I read this book, and it says this. While going through some old spiritual books and devotionals, I discovered these words printed on one of my old Bible from years back. It was written in as a letter, which read, and here it is, and it's like, say, John, and then I look, and then this is what it says. And mind you, the thing's all raggedy, look like it's about 12, 13 years old. The page was all ranked and everything. I open up, and the thing says this. John, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. We say humble, forget that. Look at me. I got all these degrees. I got 4 or 5 degrees. You know, I'm living in a $600,000 home. Look at me. And I got this big job. Look at me and all that stuff. And see, you about to mess up. Because that's how Satan lost his position as the head choir director up in heaven. And a third of them fell with him because of pride. And come down here with me. And, you know, Jesus kicked me out of heaven. So I'm going to make you guys leaders. I'm going to make y'all, I can see you. Promised them all kind of positions and ties and everything else. And he duped a third of the angels in heaven who got kicked out of heaven along with him because everything he offered was based on pride. Look at you. Look at me. You know, he says, I do not shout, John, over the daily turmoil sounds of average households. Another thing, John, my voice is not weak, but it is quiet, calm, and severe. Nothing wrong with my voice, son. And then he says this, it takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear me. That surrender must be complete. Now listen at this, 3 ways. To be completely surrendered to me where you can hear my voice, you got to meet 3 conditions. 1, and I mean when I say condition, surrender. And no more you in charge. You surrender it to him. You must be complete soul, body, and spirit. You, in other words, you surrender. Surrender to me 3 ways. Give me your soul, that's your thoughts, all your plans, and all these things you think you are to him. You belong to him. What you do is what he directs you. Don't you know the word of God says, don't you know have a plan for your life, not a calamity or problem, but a plan to give you a future and hope? And when you come to me and serve me with all your heart, then I will reveal my purpose and plan for your life. I didn't call you to be a teacher. I didn't call you to be a chef. I call you to be this. I call you to be that. Please surrender on your part before you can hear it. That surrender must be complete soul, and that's your thoughts. Okay, that's your thoughts. What are you thinking? Okay, your beliefs. Your body, well, you got to check out. Don't let your body go around there fornicating and masturbating and all the other stuff your body do. Okay? So you must be complete, soul out to me completely through your soul. That's your mind and behavior and everything else in your beliefs. Your body, because your body is what? the temple of the Holy Spirit. And for those who still run around trying to think they're slick, run around there having a little sex here and there, fornicating here and there, committing adultery here and there, masturbating here and there, guess what? Holy Spirit gone. Your body's not the temple of the Holy Spirit no more. Your body's the temple of a demonic spirit. Your body's the temple of a seducing spirit. It's whatever that what you're doing, and you know it's wrong and it's a sin, that's the kind of demon you have in you. And you can tell when you got a demon. Sometimes it's just the flesh making you do all the things, not demons all the time. But you know how you can tell when it's a demon? When I try to quit smoking, or I try to leave that man, I just every time you call me, I just get hard in the pants. I just can't say hey no to him. I just can't help him shoplifting. And I lie like a champ. I have worse than Trump. I don't know why I got to lie so much, but I'm scared because if I don't, I got to build myself. I got to make myself look good in front of my coworkers or my supervisor, you know? So you got to be completely sold out. Surrender to him by your soul. That's your thoughts, your mind. What are you thinking? Are you thinking Jesus? You thinking the word of God? You think about helping folks? Your body, are you handling your body in a proper manner? Because you know your body's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're doing any of those things, guess what? Holy Spirit say, I'm out of here. You know, the Holy Spirit tell, you know, like Jesus had to tell me then I read the word. I said, oh, my God. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, all that crap I was doing, I thought I still was the temple of the Holy Spirit. God said, no, I ain't going to be in your body when some man laying on top of you. I ain't going to be in your body when you're taking weed and smoking dope and all this other kind of stuff. I ain't going to be in your body when you're doing all this, catching all these claps and all these diseases and everything. I don't think so, you know. So he says, before you can hear my voice, you must completely surrender to me. Soul, that's your thoughts, your mind, your schemes and everything else. Your body, is you handling your body like it is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. But now if you're doing those things, guess what? The Lord tells me to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit ain't there no more. The Holy Spirit gone. Holy Spirit ain't going to stay in no foul body, go around there hanky-panky screwing and everything else, okay? So you must be completely sold out, soul, body, and spirit. When I say spirit, that means knowing the word of God, loving the Lord, and really worshiping him. When you go to church on Sunday, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is your Sunday too. You just love on the Lord. You have personal devotion with him. And if somebody comes to him, let's do this, you say, go to hell, man. I'm a child of God. I ain't no hypocrite. You forgot Jesus died for me? So what am I supposed to do? Let him die for me and took all that pain. Don't y'all remember when he said, Daddy, don't put me through this. And he said, remember, he said that three times. And then finally, the father said, I'm sorry, Baba. You don't have to do what I say. And he says, not my will, Daddy, but yours, you know, kind of a thing. And so what? He could have said, drop dead. When he about to pull that nail through his hand, he could say, man, you don't know who I am. He's dropped dead. They could have dropped dead. You see? And the guys who had the hammers in the hand, putting the ram, them spikes through his hand feet, he could have said, drop dead. And he would drop dead. Or he could have said, hand fall off. Or he could have said, freeze. And he would have froze right in that position forever if he wanted to. Or he could say, drop dead. And he would drop dead right there. And he could say, heart, stop beating. That would have happened. That's how the world came into being. That's how we came into being. By the words. He just burned. So he warned us. He said, listen here, Mary, Martha, John, Henry, before you hear my voice, and you can't fool me. You know, I'm God. I'm Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, you can't fool me either. You know, I'm God. You know? And I ain't your body no more. And if you die without me, while them people up there on earth saying, he's going to a better place, and we up there looking the man or the woman's face talking about, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Holy Spirit told me to say that. See? Because, you know, we quick to say, well, be gone to a better place. She gone to a better place. I question it because I remember you say that when I was a chaplain in the hospital, you know, as a girl, you know, trying to comfort the family. She go, and then all of a sudden, the fucking said, don't quit telling that lie. Quit telling those lies. I said, oh, my God. So when they said, well, Brother John, what do you think? You think you're going to be with the Lord? I said, that's up to the Lord. The Lord is judge, not me. I don't know. And I said, I don't know. And I said, you know what else? You can't even judge a person who may in jail because they raped some lady and they got to spend, they go into the lecture because they had to fight to kill a person. And so the conviction came down and electrocute the person. But you know what? During those months and years while that person waiting for the death date to come up and the chaplain walking in there back and forth and seeing everybody, that person could have had a real turnover, turnaround, spiritual experience with that chaplain. And the chaplain say, he's forgiven. He don't forgive me for doing that. I killed somebody. He says, well, he's here to kill for all our diseases. He said, let me tell you something. The chaplain said, there's no big sin and there's no little sin. Sin is sin. He said, you want me to surprise you? Surprise me, chaplain. I said, look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. He look at, he say all these people, all these sins, name those sins like homosexuals and bestiality and all that stuff, you know. And then there was another one. So, and besides murder, killing, raping, and all that stuff, guess what? Another one of them sins in Revelation 21 say liars. Say all this and that, and lies were not in the kingdom of heaven. I said, what? When I saw that, I said, lies. A little lie, man. This book is crazy. Man, we all lie. We have to lie to our boss to get a promotion. We have to lie to this person and make them like us. We got to lie, man. And we do all kinds of things to make ourselves look good. If we told somebody, I heard you were telling on me. I heard you told somebody that you didn't think, you thought I was crap or ignorant. Or you thought something. No, honey. I love you just like your mama. You're my friend. My God, you mean you miss, you know. And so even liars going to hell. I said, my God, we're going to move on because I got some more things to say about the Holy Spirit. He says, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. Now, remember, you got to put aside all those secret fleshly desires, worldly desires. I'm going to try to get this guy fired so I can get his job, or I'm going to con my supervisor so I can get his or her job. I get him to promote me and all these things. God looking at you, God says, I'm the one that got the plan for your life. I didn't call you to come in and scheme and lie and kill and all these other kind of stuff. He said, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me, who hear my voice, not the sight and seekers, are the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disprove my ability to talk. So I look at that man. I prayed over for several days, and then I felt led of the Lord to go summarize it from my spirit. I sat down at the dinner table and I go, the top I got, my personal comments from the reading in my book a couple of weeks ago. I got God, number, I have four things that I settled in my spirit and I wrote it down. It says, number one, God does not show favoritism to any person or anybody because of his or her what? Heritage. You don't give a flip about your heritage. You don't give a flip about your reputation. You don't give a flip about your position, about you triple this or quadruple this. Are you a doctor? Are you an attorney? Are you a judge? You don't give a flip about that. God, he said, I do not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, his or her reputation, his or her position and title, his or her accomplishments. Maybe somebody has established a rocket, built a rocket, build an airplane and all these other kind of things. And these high-rise and hotels and motels and all that, they're building all these different kinds of automobiles and everything else. He says, that don't, you know, I gave you the brain to do that. So you're not got me doing dancing wheels and all that other kind of stuff. I gave you that because that was my purpose for your life. So if you end up being a millionaire, that was my purpose because I knew that you would use that money wisely by helping the poor and the sick and the establishing things to help us. You see, second thing, God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person. That's what he look at. He ain't looking at, well, how many promotions did you get? And how many members you got in your church? You know, God ain't looking at that. God, he says, God sees and evaluates our hearts, not how many people in our church, how much money I'm making, rather 200, 100,000, 50,000 a year. That doesn't concern him. You got that because of his blessing. So, I mean, as they say, that because of his blessing. God sees and evaluates our hearts, our inner person. That's what our heart is. And on those whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him in love, faith, and purity, you see. You get his 100% attention. You can say, Lord Jesus, snap, like a military officer, you turn around and you got his attention immediately. But he says, those who get my attention like that, he says, no, they have to, their hearts have to be completely surrendered to me. And they must love me, have faith, because I love them. I love them even when they were in their abominations. Would you die for somebody who you would die for somebody you know say tell you to go to hell? You would die for somebody who said, hey, I heard that he gonna put die for us, no, but hell with that man. I'm gonna do my thing. And it's always fleshly, whatever they want to do. I want to do my thing. So God says, you got to love me with all your heart. You got to really, really love me. Just like I'm your husband or your daddy, you wouldn't cheat on me. You must have faith. You must believe I am who I said I am. I am Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one who died for your sin. And I did it while you were in deep, deep sin. How many of y'all going to be around and going to die somebody, sit around the corner that you know is a murderer, a child rapist, anything? You go around to me, I love you. Would you really? You know the person, and he might be a good best friend of yours. You know he did something, stole from his own mama, stole money out of his mama pocket, and buy some weed and all that other kind of stuff. You gonna love that person? I don't think so. You can say, man, I don't hang with him no more. You think that the buddy of yours was, I'm talking female, and your buddy was really righteous. You know he or she cheating on his wife, or she or she cheating on her husband. You gonna love him? No. See? And would you die for him too? God said, come on, you want to die for your buddy there? I don't think so. That dude is a whoremonger. He's screwing this one, screwing that one, doing this and doing that, stealing money out of the church. What I'm trying to say now, that was still out of the church collection. Lord have mercy. Now, think about all these people getting killed around here on the earth. Think about all the racist stuff going on, all the hate and everything. Do you know God still loves all of them? But you know, if they go to hell, it won't be because of God. So God said, I did what I was supposed to do. I died for you. I died for you. Now, if you want to be stupid and keep on doing that stuff without asking me to forgive you, and when your days are over and you come stand in front of me, I didn't know. You don't want to hear that crap, but you guess what? You can talk like that to another human being, but you can't talk like that to God. He's one creature, remember? He know your spirit. He know what you're going to say to you before you say it. He going to know your arguments before you even present them. And he might say, I don't want to hear that. The part of me you work on, nigga, Satan, come here. That's your, and then go, and see, that's what Satan out there, because he says, but got kicked out of heaven. He want to take as many, many Christians as he can, especially people in the ministry, whether they're chaplains, whether they're deacons, whether they're pastors, associate pastors, choir directors, and all these kinds of things. See, that's how he want to get back with Jesus, knowing that Jesus died for us, and the more people he can get to die in sin, that the happier he gets. That's why he will spend eternity in hell for the rest of his life when that time comes. So Jesus said, God sees and evaluates our hearts, open the Holy Spirit. And he knows our inner person. He knows our favor. He knows what turned us on and what turned us off. And he want to make sure that we love him and we have faith in him. Period. Then another thing, number three, I said, moreover, God does not prefer to love fellowship and praying of the educated more than the poor of the powerful. Let me say that again, because, I mean, that hit me hard. Because, you know, some people say, you don't know my daddy. My dad's president. This and blah, blah, blah. He says, I got more, but God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and praying of the educated more than the poor or the powerful or the uneducated. So don't think that God loves you more than that person who's poor and is a janitor or something like that, a house cleaner, the maid or the cooking, and you miss executive director, assistant director, and all that. God loves you more, not necessarily. God just giving you favor. He just giving you time because he knows when you're going to die. He knows when he's going to take you out. But he's giving you, see, he may let you live to be 80, because he knew at the age of 79, that's when you would finally wake up and give your whole self to God. That's how come some people live to be 100 or 78, 79, because they were stubborn. Some of them lived that long because they were just blessed of the Lord. So you know which reason why God allowed that person to live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old. Because God may know after all them years, the person didn't get saved until they were 99, you know. Because they end up in the hospital knowing they're dying. Because sometimes people don't get God's attention until there's no place to go. You can't go no lower. Especially like some people with syphilis, AIDS, and all this other kind of stuff, and they're in the hospital. No, Mr. John, can I tell you, please? You know, and he gives the life to the Lord. I said, man. I said, this is like one woman. And then I share this with you, and I got to move on. The lady was in her 80s, and I was making the rounds. And who are you? I said, I'm the chaplain, Chaplain John. Where's the chaplain? I said, you must be in the hospital too much. She said, well, I don't want to go there. I says, then I told her what I do. I said, it's like a pastor, but you're the pastor at the hospital instead of the church. So I say, and then all of a sudden, the Lord started mentioning me. He said, ask her these questions, John. And I go, sweetheart, if you die tonight, where would you go? No, I didn't say it that way. I say, if the good Lord decided to pluck you out, you pretty little rose out of the rose garden, and decided to bring you up in heaven, the fellowship with the other roses and tulips and all that, where would you go? And honey, sir, they all said the same thing to me. The word was always hope. They all said, well, Brother John, or well, Chaplain John, or Reverend John, I hope I'd go. That's going to be fun to be with my mama and be with the Lord. I said, I said, well, tell me, when did you get saved? Well, at 13, that's when I joined the church. I said, how did you join the church? Oh, I just went up to the pastor. You want to be a number of church? Come up. And I came up there, you know, and I've been going and going, not every Sunday, but I went when I could and stuff like that. And I sang in the choir, and I taught Sunday school sometimes. I said, yeah, but when did you get saved? She said, why are you asking that stupid question? I told you I joined the church when I was 12 or 13 or 14, whatever it is. And I said, you just joined the church. That's all you did. You told me you joined the church. You didn't tell me when you became a child of God. Huh? What'd you say to me? I said, you heard me, dear. You mean there's a difference? I said, yeah. I said, there are three things you got to do, accept Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior. Telling you, first of all, tell him you forgive, ask you to forgive you all your sins. You don't have to tell him all them things because he know what it is. He got it in his memory bank. He know everything, the first one to the last one you did before you die, and where, and time, place, and everything else, honey. So you don't have to say, I did this, and I did that. He know what you did. He's God. I said, so you got to tell him, you're sorry for all your sins. You ain't got to tell him what you did because he already know. And then after you tell him, son, tell him that you believe that he's the son of God. Don't believe that he's just a white man or he's just a fool who think he's a king or think he's a god and everything else, you know. And then there's no triple God. It's just God the Father. God never got married. You show me in the Bible where God got married, huh? Tell me he's the son of God. Tell me, you ignorant preacher. That's how they come at me sometimes. You know, you tell me, did he get married? Huh? And that woman that had him in the flesh, was she married? No, uh-huh. So you think God's going to let his son be born out of a woman who got pregnant and never got married? And then some get real with me and say, don't you know when the child is born out of wedlock, they call him a bastard? I said, yeah, I know. I know what it's called, you know. But that child had nothing to do with it. When that child get wise, that child going to ask the Lord. And that lady, that mother, she going to get wise up too because God going to minister to her and say, honey, ask me to forgive you. You committed fornication, whatever, you know. And God, that's God, see? And God, and so you can't judge nobody because they did this and judge because you don't know what. Because God would send a minister, a godly one. I don't mean somebody with a title. Because you call him deacon, a reverend, a chaplain, you know, a brother man, a brother woman. You know, I don't care what kind of titles you got. And I want you to know it. Just because sometimes I say chaplain, sometimes I say pastor. I'm talking to every living being that's listening. I'm not picking on a pastor. I'm not picking on a chaplain. I'm talking about everybody. We got, even if you're a janitor, I'm talking to you too. Because your butt's going to die someday as well. Okay. So God does not show favoritism. On you because of what your mom and dad did, because of what you accomplished and your position ties and all that. And then the last two says this, I got more, but God does not prefer the love, fellowship, prayers of the educated more than the poor, the powerful, because he got so much education. He accepts all, listen to this, he accepts all from every nation who fears him and do what is right. I say for every nation, you know, I'm talking about Japanese, Jews, and Chinese, African-Americans, and Spanish and all that. And then the last thing I wrote to myself, I got, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. And repeat that, it's no more business as usual. You need to check with your Lord every morning. You get up and say your little devotional prayer and talk to him and say, what you have me to do today, Lord? You know, who do you want me to minister to, Lord? And Lord, what should I do? Lord, my boss asked me to do something. So how should I do that, Lord? Some things he lets you do yourself, but when you get tired and don't know, you talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, see? I lost my keys, Lord. I go, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will tell you where the keys are, you know? especially when you lose a lot of stuff around the house and you don't know where it is. You spend up hours trying to find it. When all you had to do is say, Holy Spirit, or Jesus, in the name of Jesus, where's my, it was in the car, it's in your coat pocket, hanging in the closet. He'd tell you to be sold out to him completely. Otherwise, you would never hear a thing. Because I didn't know that. And when I finally found out that I had to live right and all this stuff, I said, okay, I'm going to live right. It was like maybe 70%, not 100%. And I was trying to hear the Lord for 10, 15, 20 years till I got disgusted. You know, man, shoot, that's the hardest thing to do, trying to hear the voice of God, you know. Then I finally said, no. I ain't going to let the devil whip me like this because I know God is much smarter than me, and I still got a life to live, and I want to make sure I'm doing what he wants me to do. So remember, you got to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and you got to live right. You can't go praise the Lord on Sundays and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're out there hoeing around or lying around, whatever you're doing, okay? Now, things I want to say about the Holy Spirit. I said the Holy Spirit is a person, okay? He performs actions just like a fleshly person. He does a number of things only a person can do. And I want y'all to know him personally. Boy, he's gonna love y'all to death because he's the Spirit of God. Man, shoot, when the Holy Spirit on your side, man, let me tell you the things he's going to do. And then you go, my God, you know that. All right, first of all, he's a person. As a person, I'm not going to read all the scripture. I'll never get through. I'm just going to tell you, some of them I'll tell you where you can find them, just leave it alone because I'll never get through quoting scriptures. I said, he's a person, and God showed me in the Bible where he's a person. So he teaches, and you find that in John 14:26. He testifies, John 15:26. I'm not going to read up all the scriptures because I'll never get through. I'll just tell you what he does as a person. He teaches, and believe me, I got scriptures right next to the adjective. He teaches, like I got John 14:26. He testifies, like I got John 15:26. He guides, like I got Romans 8:14. He spanks, 1 Corinthians 2:13. He enlightens, John 16:13. He strives, he commands, he intercedes for us. He sends workers. And I'm talking about workers. I'm talking about chaplains, hospital nurses, whatever, every job in the field, even don't have to be a religious title, you know. It could be school teacher, not necessarily a religious school, but an elementary school teacher, high school teacher. Guess what? You his child, and you a child of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you too. So he sends workers, and who knows? You put you in that school, you may be there to get the principal saved. I've known that a lot of times. Principal's hard. I'm going to tell you, I'm thank to God, not because they're the principal, you know. And a lot of places God sent me, and they had those attitudes. And before God took me out of that place, that person was loving the Lord left and right. Because I just said, now what you need to do, and what you need to say, and where you need to go, and you need, how you need. I wait on the Lord. Because if I decide to say, I tell them what I think, I'm speaking from the flesh. You're talking to a person who questions the reality of Jesus. You're talking to a person who don't know for sure. You might be talking to a person who was living in a household that didn't even believe in Jesus. You might be talking to a person with Jehovah's Witness and all that kind of stuff, you know, that don't believe in the Trinity, don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So you have to say, what should I say, Lord? And he'll speak to you, new thoughts are coming to you. He'll say, now say this, now say that, now I'll tell you what else. No, thoughts are coming to you. And I'm going to tell you, that's how he talked to you. He started thinking, okay. Say, honey, you know what? And you're saying something. Just like me right now. I thought I was going to be talking on demonology, all about demons, the kinds of demons, how they suck you in, how you get possessed, how you can get exercised, and all these other kind of things. And then here, just when that before I was supposed to come on, the change came about the Holy Spirit. Now, see, I'm smart enough to know that Jesus did that. The Holy Spirit did that. Because everybody know, even some of the pastors listening, knew I was supposed to speak on demonology and all that stuff. But I'm speaking on the person because you can't get through this world without having a personal relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And remember what Jesus said, I'm going home now, y'all. He didn't say home, but he said, I'm going back. We know that's home. He said, but I'm sending somebody just like me. He is a duplicate of me. Only I'm God, the Son, he's God, the Holy Spirit. You got it? All right. So, he's God. And when you marry somebody and you want to go to school or you want to apply for a position, check with the Holy Spirit first, because you may go in a position where people don't believe in Jesus. The supervisor, he or she is all about himself and get flipped about you, just use you to make him or herself look good. And as soon as you piss that person off, they want to fire you. They don't care if you got two children you got to take care of. They don't care if you ain't got no husband. They don't care if you living by yourself. They don't give a flip. They just want you to do things to make them look glorified. That's what the whole bottom line is. Not all of them. I'm talking about the real Christian. They would love you, and you would know the real Christian manager from a phony Christian manager. Okay? You know it. Okay. So he's a person that teaches. He testifies. He guides. He enlightens us, and he strives to help us become more like he desires for us. He commands us to do different things. He intercedes for us. And you know, you be in trouble, you think, and all of a sudden somebody jumps to, well, I know her. She wouldn't do that. I understand you may need some money. The problem with her, here, take this. And you go, my God. And you don't know. Tell him, he sure is a nice man. She sure is a nice woman. I mean, we're buddies, but I didn't think that woman would give me $100. She gave me $200. Tell me, honey, take it. You know? And see, what you should say is, thank you, Lord. See, the Lord ministers to that lady or that man who did that favor for you. He didn't do it out of his flesh. He was moved by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention and say, see what I can do for you. He sends workers. He calls us into different positions. And he works on us. He gives us gifts and all these kinds of things. The Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was addressed as a person. The New Testament clearly shows and that the early Christians recognized and affirmed the Holy Spirit as a person. Remember what Peter in the Bible said? Peter said, Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius. Said, I want you to go here. I got a sign for you. There's some people need to be saved over there. And yes, Lord. And then you got Philip, Father, the leading of the Holy Spirit and his ministry. If you look at these ministers in the New Testament, they get this one and say, and the Lord said this, the Holy Spirit said do this, and the Lord said the Holy Spirit said this. Another example of the Holy Spirit as a person is seen in the what? Reference to the Trinity. Jesus commanded disciples to what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit is God, okay? The Holy Spirit is God. You might say, I never could figure that out, huh? You said there's only one God, but you got God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit. Well, I got a little revelation not so long, a couple of years ago. And it says, suppose you had, you can have an animal called a dog, say a dog kind of thing. You got all kinds of dogs. You got, a pit bull. You got a husky. You got a German shepherd. And everything else. But when you look at it, you say, what is it? It's a dog. Even though it's different kinds. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So they are called a dog. No matter how they look, some bigger than others, you got bulldogs and all kinds. But you say, what is that? You say, a dog. You know, God is God. But they are one in purpose, one in everything else. There's only one. There's only one kind of animal called a dog. You might have all different kinds, but that person's known as a dog. Not that person, but that animal's known as a dog. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. So just think, God, Father, God, Son, God, the Holy Spirit is one God. All right, dig this. I came across something else that just blew my mind. It says this. He's called, and Jesus want to make sure that that the Holy Spirit is recognized as a separate entity, that he is God. Jesus said this, when we speak of the Trinity of God, we are speaking of one God in three distinct persons, each being God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and is therefore God. Remember, when Peter asked Ananias, what has Satan filled? How did Satan cause you to lie? You sold your property and all that stuff. You come back again, you sold it, and the money you're giving us, that's what was the total cost for it. And what happened? What did Peter say to him? And then he says, why has Satan, so this is Peter talking to Ananias. Remember when Peter asked Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, You go, what you talking about? I'm talking to you. I wasn't talking to the Holy Spirit. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit because he was a godly man. And his whole life was centered around Jesus, the Messiah. And when he asked Peter that question, he was being inspired, led by the Holy Spirit to ask that question because the Holy Spirit wanted Peter to know that the man was cheating on him. So when he asked the guy the question, Peter's smart enough to know that he was led by the Holy Spirit to ask that question. And so he told him, oh, well, you know, that's what we sold it for, but he lied, see? And so the Holy Spirit told Peter that the man lied. He said, why, Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why, huh? And then what he did, he dropped dead. He said, you weren't speaking to man, you were speaking to God. That's what he said. He said, you know what, you thought you were speaking just to me? You weren't speaking just to me, you were speaking to God. Because when I asked you that question, I was inspired to ask that question by the Holy Spirit. So when you asked the question, you were lying to me and the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, you know, say, for example, you sold a house for $200,000, and we sold it for $100,000. Hiding the fact that you had that other extra $100,000. And then the person you're talking to say, you ain't just lied to me. You lied to the Holy. Just like, for example, your mother, your father, a godly man, a righteous man, minister, chaplain, a friend, running mate, schoolmate, all love the Lord, sold out completely, and they ask you something, you lied for a second to get over. Well, you're not just lying to that friend, that devoted, righteous friend of yours, but you're lying to the Holy Spirit too. Because the Holy Spirit inspired that person to ask, honey, how are you doing today? I'm fine, thanks, fine. But you didn't lie just to the person, you lied to the Holy Spirit too. Because guess what? That person was inspired to ask that question by the Holy Spirit. Because that person could help you and give you the aid that you need. But because you lie, you lie to the Holy Spirit too, because that person is a spirit-filled, godly woman or man who wanted to help you. I'm doing fine. So thanks for asking. I'm doing just fine. You don't need to know my business, you know. And God or the Holy Spirit sent that person there to help you had you been true with that person. Okay. Another thing about the Holy Spirit is he gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. What time do I have? Let me see. Okay. All right. He gives us gifts, the word of wisdom. Now, you find this in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, about all these gifts, because God says, you are my children, I'm leaving, and you will have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and Satan's going to attack your butts left and right, not only by demons, but by your fellow mankind going to try to talk you into a bunch of stuff, stealing, chilling, robbing, raping, molesting, and all this stuff. So you got to know what can do you harm and what can. And so I'm going to give you gifts, like talents. Like if I want you to be a professional piano player, if I was Jesus, I'll give you the gift to play the piano. I'll give you the gift to sing because I want you to be a singer. Same thing, see? So he gives some people, the Holy Spirit gives some people the word of wisdom. Tell me, what is the word of wisdom, Brother John? Some people had words, and guess what? The word of wisdom means he gives this person the ability to solve problems and situations. He also gives that person to give that word of divine instruction, direction, so he can do what he had tasked that person to do. Again, when you get the word of wisdom, to solve problems or situations. Boy, that's a smart dude. You know that? Man, she's smart. No matter what, she always got the answer to my problems. Huh? She's really blessed. Not knowing it, she's really saying the truth because that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets, because you see some people are wise and got that full of wisdom and think, man, I wish I was smart like her, sharp like her. How can some people can go to school and make all A's, you know, and graduate at the top of the class? Then you've got kids who can play the piano, never took a piano lesson anything. You got folks that are singing, making millions of dollars, and never took no singing lesson. That just got that boy. That's what God, the gift God give that person for that purpose. Everybody got a different purpose. But God want to give us all wisdom because we all have problems. And if you want to know what to do and you don't know what to do, then that's the Holy Spirit say, this is what you do, honey, you know. So he gives, now I'm not talking about picking certain people to this. This is available to every child of God, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He disseminates those gifts according to your personal and your likeness, because he know who you are, he know how you can use it, he know where you're going to be disobedient, he know where you're going to be obedient. So he gives you the word of wisdom. And when he said, "What do you mean?" And I want you, when you're free, look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. That's the gift he got for everybody. To stop believing stuff. Well, we have his written word. And the other thing, I just turned 80. And mind you, I didn't know all this when I was in my 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I started learning stuff when I'm in my 70s, y'all. 70s. Man, if Satan stand right in front of me, I'll try my best to kick his butt, even though I knew I could do it, to make me follow those lying people teaching me all that crap. We have it. That's all we heard. We have it. What about the word wisdom? God's, we are children of God. And God ain't going to leave you like if you had a child. Before you send that child to play football, you make sure he had the right uniform on and everything else, right? Before you send that child out there in that winter thing, you're going to make sure he got the coat, hat, and gloves and everything you need. You ain't going to let him go out there naked. Well, that's what the 1 Corinthians 12 chapter is, the gift to protect us, to give us wisdom and knowledge. Wouldn't you like it if you could, wouldn't you appreciate it when you go home and you say, "Lord, I can't find so-and-so." And then you get a thought, say, "It's in the kitchen," or so-and-so. "Lord, I don't know if this man really liked me or not, you know, and he's trying to get me to go to bed with him, and I told him he loved me, he wanted to marry me, but he can't do it right now, and I don't know if he's really honest or what." No, what should that do? To leave. He's not honest. He just want to lay with you. You see? You get answers like that. And those people who just send him out to him, "Oh, that bunch of bull." Ain't no bunch of bull. You better watch your mouth, because I'm talking what the Holy Spirit want me to talk. And don't you dare call the Holy Spirit a liar, Jack. That's all I got. Because I tell you, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. Whether it costs my reputation or what. Because you know what? I care more about spending eternity with the Lord, more so about my reputation and spending eternity in hell. If you look at the book of Revelation, you change your doggone mind, because the Holy Spirit had John to write it. In the book of Revelation, even Satan got his behind throwing it to hell for all eternity. So you better forget the thing. But I want to please my friend. I don't want who you want to please, God or your friend. Your friend ain't going to be there when you drop dead in an automobile accident or in the hospital. You was in an automobile accident, somebody shot you by mistake and you died. Huh? That friend ain't going to be up there talking to Jesus. "Well, Jesus, now she's been a good woman. You should do that. You should," and this kind of thing. If Jesus don't want to hear that crap, Jesus says, "Shut up and you can't speak no more." So some he going to give the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, that's the Holy Spirit give you the ability to problem. Remember earlier I said he don't give a flip about how much education you got, what kind of prestige you got, what kind of job you got, how much you got this, how much money you got, what kind of, you don't care about that, how pretty you are. That don't mean nothing to him. He gave you your looks. He gave you your height and your weight and everything else. So he gives all who deserves it to solve problems or situations. Guess what? Another gift he gives you. It's called the word of knowledge. Remind you now, I said, he gives you the word of wisdom. That's it. When you, your friends, your parents, or your children might have some kind of situation, "I don't know what to do about this." And then he said, "Lord, please help me give this person the right answer and the thought to come tell you." He going to say, "Don't tell her this. Tell her that. Tell her this and this. Tell her those." No. The thought just come. "What you need to do, sweetheart, is so-and-so. And you, and then sometimes you go, "Was that me or was that Holy Spirit?" I tell you the truth, sometimes you're trying to figure out, "Was that Lord or was that me?" You know? But if that vision came out and it came out perfectly and everything else, you know it was the Lord. Especially if you didn't know anything about that. The Lord to give you give a person how to solve a problem, you even know it, you don't have any specialized knowledge in that field where they are. "Well, I think what you need to do, sweetheart," but before you do it, you always say, "Well, let us pray." "What should I do, sister?" Say, "Let us pray." Always say that. "Let's pray about it." And then I guarantee you, while you're thinking and praying, the Holy Spirit will give you the thoughts to say to that person. You say, then you say, "In Jesus' name, amen." "So, well, I think what you need to do, child, so-and-so. Hey, that sounds reasonable. I'll try that." And then you said to yourself, "Well, now, where in the world did that come from?" You'd be like, "Man, I sure hit the ball on that one." You know, it was the Holy Spirit give you that thought. You got to remember, all thoughts that come through your head is not you. It's sometimes the Holy Spirit, or demon, or the Lord, the Holy Spirit, okay? So he gives them the word of wisdom to solve problems and situations. Then he gives you the word of knowledge. Guess what happened when you give you that one? That's the word of knowledge is another, it's the same spirit. All right, he gives you names of people. You might be sitting there and you got to write somebody, or you supposed to got contact somebody about a bill or about a situation, a problem situation, and you go, "Oh, Lord, have mercy. I suppose they called somebody, but I can't remember. Oh, Lord, they're going to cuss me out when they find out I never. And then you can say, Holy Spirit, who's the name of that person I'm supposed to call? And it'll come to you. See? So the word of knowledge. I didn't say the word of wisdom. That means God give you the ability to solve problems and situations and issues. Now, when that Holy Spirit give you the word of knowledge, then guess what? You'd be gifted to name. You'd remember names of people who you never met. You know, how do you know my name? Say, well, honey, you'd be surprised. You're well known. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you the person's name without even somebody mentioning it to you in the prior. Say, don't you know who I am? And you look at him and say, Lord have mercy. Why would he ask me that? He's a big time shot. He thinks he's supposed to be known by everybody. You know. And then the Lord say, his name is so-and-so, her name is so-and-so. If you know your sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Yes, thank you. So the word of knowledge, you get the names of people from the Holy Spirit. You would also, you might lose things like your car keys and door keys and all that. And you run all around the house and you ask the Lord, and the Lord say, you left it in the car in the mission. Oh, and that happened to me a lot of times. I'd be spending about maybe 30 or 40 minutes walking around the house. I'd be tears in my eyes. I got to get the phone through. Oh, Lord. And they go, honey, help me find these keys. Or John, Brenda, help me find these keys. And I identify and get as Lord is in the car. So when you get the word of knowledge, I didn't say wisdom. Wisdom means him helping you to, solve issues and problems. Word of knowledge, he lets you know something. You get to know names of people. You get to know all about your lost items, where you put that book, where did you put that money, where did you put that check, and whatever, okay? So the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit gives you names of people. He gives you the whereabouts of lost items. And he also lets you know who's your enemy. Because you don't know, this guy might be talking to you because he's trying to get in your pants, or he's talking to you because you got a position and you're the selecting official, and he's just using you so you can like him and you give him that executive position. But he's paying you for food. See, but if you can talk to the Holy Spirit, so if you got three or four people and you're trying to decide who you want to be your assistant pastor, as your choir director, you know, your janitor, whatever. You talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tell you who you should get, because then whoever you point is a godly woman or man who loves what he or she's doing, love the Lord, and most of them won't even backstab you or talk, and talk down at you behind your back. Or you don't know nothing. I don't know how he got that job. He my boss. He's stupid. You know, and all this stuff. God would tell you who to select in all your vacancies. See? So, the word of wisdom, you get the name of people. You also find lost items. You also get to know who is just using you, don't really like you, and you think they just love you, love the ground you walk on. They're just playing you, honey. They know, you know your relationships. When you got friends, you know whether this woman or this man really like you for what they say, or they just use you because of your title, your position, everything else, and because of your influence. And what they want to do is just be popular, so they think about hanging around you. They get to be popular. Okay? Also, word of knowledge, address of reveal. You may need to know how to contact somebody, and you pray about it because you know, I liked him. I think I want to hire him. Whatever the reason you want to relate with that person, and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you because you forgot to ask him or her, where do you live? Are you out of town? Are you here? What, honey? My friend, you know. And the Holy Spirit will give you the address. And then, this, y'all, word of knowledge, guess what the last one I got? Secrets revealed. And God lets you know who like you, who hate you, who want to marry you, really want to marry you, who don't want to marry you, but they say that so they can get to go to bed with you, you know, and all these other kind of things. And who's cheating you to rip you out some money, you know. And I'm going to business, and, you know, and God told me that, you're supposed to be my partner. I'm doing this, and we're supposed to be together. You chip in. I got $50,000. You get, and you pay $50,000. Yeah, okay. You know, secrets revealed. Why is this person like me? And what's going on with that person over there? This show look kind of funny. I mean, God don't let you into people's business only when you are affected by it. I mean, God will tell you. God ain't gonna walk down you down the street. Oh, he's a liar. He's a thief. He's a fornicator. He's a faggot. He's a this. And God don't do that like that. It's your personal life, because you are a child. you're a child, not a hypocrite of God, but a child of God. And the Holy Spirit will let you know secrets about that person. That person will even know, you know, that they're trying to pay you for food. Okay? I'm not sitting up here telling lies, folks. I'm telling what the Bible says. First, he gives you the word of witness. Remember now, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Look it up. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. They talk about all those gifts. Some got the gift of wisdom. Some got the word of knowledge. Remember I said knowledge? He exposed things about people, giving names about people. Knowledge, he lets you know where things you've forgotten, where you put them, these kinds of things. He lets you know about people who are trying to trick you or who are trying to have sex with you and you think the person loves you when they're all out about sex. Also, where they live and these kinds of things. And secrets revealed. God will give you that deep secret, that son of a gun who is no good and after nothing but harm to you and want to use you. And some people got hurt so bad in the hospital line that some people committed suicide because they never been so hurt and they feel like they didn't have nothing. And I thought he really loved me. And some had tried, the kind of a thing. They had a couple that tried to commit suicide, but God didn't allow it. And then when they tell me why, I said, my God, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, guess what? Another gift. It's called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. In other words, remember I said you need to sit down and listen and pray and listen for the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Or sometimes thoughts come to your mind and say, you ought to go there. You ought to join that church. Or you ought to try to get him. He's nice. Why don't you do this? You got to remember this. I'm going to repeat it again. Just because you're thinking it, what did I say? Don't mean you're thinking it. That's mean no thoughts are being given to you. It did this. The third gift is called discerning of spirits. It's just another way discerning means distinguishing truth from falsehood. Discerning the spirit, in other words, what kind of spirit is talking to me? Discerning means distinguishing whether this person is a whoremonger, or really a godly man, a cool hypocrite, a smooth talker, or whatever. Okay? Discerning, and you really will need that too. You need wisdom because wisdom helps you solve problems. You need knowledge because then you know where you can find your car keys, what you can say to this person. You can know about this the relationship, what kind of relationship you have with this man, this woman. God will tell you. Okay? All right. And then God will tell you some secret stuff about that person to you, not that he just loud mouth, big mouth. No, because he loves you and he knows that if you don't say anything, you'll get hurt. You get hurt so bad, you may want to commit suicide. Discerning of spirits, okay? Wisdom, knowledge, and he gives them this discerning of spirits. You realize who's talking to you. You ask God for that gift. That's a good gift. When people come to you, you can beg God and say, he, she's not real. They're just playing you. And you go, thank you. Save you a whole lot of hours and problems and everything else. You know? Especially that person smooth, got silver tongue. Before you know, you're in the bed with that man or that woman. And you know, how does this happen? You know, are you loaning that person $50,000, $60,000? And it sounds so real when they presented that to you and everything else like that. You thought that person was so good because they hired you for that job. They may be hiring you for false reasons. Maybe that person know you more than you think they do. And they may know your sister, your auntie, or whatever. And they're trying to get favor from that man, that woman. By giving you a job, something like that, then everybody loves you. That's when you get my sister that job. So I'd like to see you, so take you out there. Okay, you see. So discerning of spirits, especially when thoughts, and this is the one, the primary purpose, discerning of spirits. What should I say, Lord? Okay, discerning of spirits, I'm going to say help you distinguish thoughts coming to your mind. Ask God for the gift of discernment. Okay, in that way, the Holy Spirit can help you distinguish who is talking to you, who is saying to you, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, you know, okay? Because, like I say, it's three primary persons can be talking to you. And that God has written down, God gave it to me and said, it could be the Spirit of God that's talking to you. And look, when you start talking about you want to hear from God and everything, now don't be thinking about, he's going to come into your living room and be, all right, sit down. You said you want to talk to me now. Look at your sister. I'm Jesus. And what can I do for you? What you want to know about me, sweetheart? And I got some plans for you. And I want, no, it don't work that way. No, it's in prayer where you sold out completely. And then a thought may come to your head and says, go to the hospital, pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, I'm thinking that. Man, I like the girl. Man, she's a good friend of mine, a co-worker or something. Man, I got better things to do, man. I'll just give her a call. When God may want you to go to the hospital and visit that person, he'll give you the words to say, and that person got saved. And then when they tell you the next morning the person died, 3 or 4 o'clock that morning, you didn't know that you could have been used by God to lead that person to the Lord before they died, you see. That happened to me a couple times. My God. Sometimes I'd be so stubborn, I'd be walking around into the emergency room and all that. I say, let me go to my office to chit-chat now. And all of a sudden say, It's like that. And I go, huh? And I go, okay. I know what you're trying to say to me, Lord. I go in there and say, hey. And I buddy-buddy with the person. Kind of found out they don't hardly go to church that much and everything else. And then God gave me the words to say. That won't sound like a preacher. What you need to do, you need to. And God just showed me how to say it real softly. Because I didn't know that, Brother John. And like a lady was 96 years old. And God, and I said, I didn't want to say, are you saved? God said, don't say that. I go, sweetheart. Yeah, I mean, this, you might think this is funny. I said, if the Lord should call you home now and say, die, what would he say to you? Welcome home or you're in the wrong place? I mean, what you talking about? A chaplain, John? What you say you are? I said, chaplain. What's a chaplain? I said, so like a minister, but at a hospital school. I said, now, what you going to tell him? He said, should he let you in his kingdom? What would you tell him? That's the way I approach it. You know, I tell him I love him, and I tell him that I've been in the choir for 20 years. I was the choir director too, and I played the songs and stuff like that. And I said, what else? Oh, sometime I may substitute for the Sunday school teacher when she can't make it, and I'll do that. I said, okay, when did you get saved? She said, I just told you. I said, no. You just told me all the good things you were doing in church, sweetheart. She said, what you mean, Mr. John? Then I showed the scripture where it said we must receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. There's three things we got to do. One, we got to tell the Lord we sorry for our sins. Two, and then we got to tell him that we believe that he's Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Nazareth. Then the third thing, you want to be born again. Then you say, Lord, come into me. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And that's when and only when the Holy Spirit comes in and your body then becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you ask the Lord to forgive you all those sins and tell him you're sorry. And then you tell him that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God. He's not just some white teacher or some fool who thinks he's a God or he's a mighty Christian man and all this stuff. Yeah, but he's really who he said he is. The word of God says it, the Son of the living God. And when you do that and then say, I'm sorry for all my sins, honey, that woman said, oh, my God. All I heard was come join the church and become a member of God's family. For them 60-some-odd years I've been in that church, I ain't heard nothing like what you just said. So I said, well, give me a hand, honey. And she gave me a hand. And, I said, and she repeated after me. She said, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. I believe that you're the Son of God. And I receive you now. He's my Lord and Savior. Give me the born-again experience, Father God. Give me the born-again experience, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and accept Jesus. And guess what? The woman said, son, thank you so much. Come here. Because she called me son. You know, I was in my, like, 40s and 50s, you know. And yeah, come here. Give Mama a hug. And I hug, you know. And then all of a sudden, the woman's weight started getting heavy right in my arms. I said, oh, no. No, no. And I said, nurse. And I've got to wrap up my arm. They said, she just passed, Brother John. I said, we heard everything you said, young woman. Bless you. Bless you. And she's almost 100 years old. She's 97. I said, well, praise the Lord. And guess what? God does it sometime. And God tells me to go to the room and says, so-and-so about to die. And I know the person got either cancer, some kind of health problem, you know, situation, issue. And God said, she's about to die. And I jump up and I go and say, sweetheart, you're a beautiful flower. Now, what would you do if God decided to plug out that pretty flower? What would you be, flower? I'm calling you a flower. All of us are different kinds of flowers. You got the roses, you got this and this and that. I say, what would you tell? Where would you think you'd go if God decided to pluck you out of this, all these bushes and everything around here? And she laughed, you're funny, Jeff, you're funny. I said, well, if he decided to pluck you, you're a pretty flower, what do you think he's going to say to you? You at home, or you need to go downstairs, you're in the wrong place. You funny, chaplain, you funny. I said, well, I'm serious. Well, I hope. I said, I didn't ask you to curse. She said, I hate curse. What you mean curse? I didn't say dang it, S-H-I-T. You know, I said, I hope. I said, that's a curse word to me. You're supposed to know. You're supposed to know whether you're saved or not. You mean to tell me you've been in church? Well, all he said was come join the church and become a member of God's family. I said, he didn't say something about you had to be born again. And then you must confess and tell me sorry for sin and ask the Holy Spirit to come dwell within you. You know, no, he just said, just be active. Get active. Get busy in the church and tithe. Don't forget tithe. And guess what? I led the woman to the Lord. I led the woman to the Lord. And then she was 97, 98. I can't remember. 97, 98. And she collapsed in my arm after she said that prayer. And I said, oh, my God. I thought she just went to sleep. And I said, nurse, because I had her in my arm. And I said, she just passed, Brother John. You got here just in time. We heard you. We were outside right in the car listening to you telling the lady about the Lord. Because this so happened, those nurses were Christians, you know. So they heard my testimony. They heard me. Thank you so much, Pastor. They said, can we call on you when we think somebody's going to pass? I said, sure. And they'll call me on different floors. I'll run up there. But sometimes the person will make it, you know. But they just want to be sure that that person knew what salvation was. And I shared it with them, kind of thing. So the gifts we have, the word of wisdom, remember I told you, that's to solve problems. I got to give whatever you have. Then you have the word of knowledge. That's knowing what's going on, knowing the people you're dealing with, knowing things that you lost, remembering people's names and addresses, and people's secrets about you. How they are with you. Then you have discerning of spirits, what I just got to talk to. When a thought comes into your head, you best stop before you jump and do it. Go visit so-and-so and stop and think about it. Especially get heavy. Give her some money. She needs it. Do this. Or go see this person. This person got a job. You got to remember. You got to remember. There's three major things talking to you through your thoughts. One is the Spirit of God. That could be Jesus or that could be the Holy Spirit. More likely it's the Holy Spirit because he's always referred to as the Spirit of God. And then you got human spirit voice. Hey, you know, I'm your friend. How long have we been knowing each other? Huh? Are we best friends? Well, what I think you need to do, you need to do so-and-so. Yeah, that makes sense. It might sound real and done to everything else. But that might God wants you to do. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 voices talking to you. One is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can be composed of the Trinity, okay? When I say Spirit of God, because the Trinity is known as God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you got to say, is that you, Lord? If they'll come in and say, And then some soft, sweet voice, real quiet. You say, that sounds like the Holy Spirit. Then you ask for confirmation. And then you have to, don't be so religious. Man, she's good. Man, you can knock that out and go and so on, man. Tell her to kiss your butt. Man, you don't need her. And so on and so on. Tell her what you think of her and that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm going to get even. Don't nobody talk to me like that. You're supposed to get the person moving with your life. But that demon wants you to. And then by you cussing that person out and telling what you really think and how you would like to kick their butt if you wasn't a Christian, which you beat the hell, you know, all that stuff. And then that person, because that person had to get saved, say, I thought you were supposed to be Christian. So in spite of what they, how they treat you, you say, you know how, you're getting wrong. Because the Lord says, I shouldn't take any revenge on you because he says in his word, vengeance is mine. That's what I use. I said, I'm not. You mad at me? Yeah, I'm a little angry, man, because, you know, I trust you, but you know what? I just left it up to the Lord. What you mean by that? I said, you find out sooner or later. I said, really, Lord, I don't want to cuss you out and try to beat you up and all that stuff. Then that wouldn't be Christian-like. You know, I respect you, Brother John. I ask you, you know, you're a real man of God kind of thing. But see, I don't need you to tell me that. So discerning of spirits, you got to remember, when every time you think of something, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you what to do, how to deal with a situation. Or it could be a demonic spirit. Go ahead and knock it out. Man, nobody know. Your wife can't see you. Your husband can't see you. My God. Or you can go in the bathroom there and masturbate, play with yourself, and get it off. You know, ain't nobody know but you. And that's demonic, too. So just remember, discerning of spirits means distinguishing. Every time you have a thought from now on, you compare the thought to the word of God, okay? Compare the thought. So to help somebody, you know that's the Lord leading you to do that because that person really needs. Otherwise, God wouldn't put that person thing. But this all comes to me, you man, she's fine, something. You know, then you go, like I always do, I go, I rebuke you, and then, because even though I'm 80 years old, sometimes it all comes, like I hear, man, she's 75, and she's 70. And some, like I go to the grocery store one day, and the teller, the clerk, she looked like she was in her 60s. And when I walk up there to pay her grocery thing, she said, hi, how you doing? That's funny. She said, what's your name? I never seen you. I said, well, you know, I just branch out here because they told me about this grocery store. I kind of like it, you know. So she said, and she said, well, you ought to come see me sometime. And I looked up at her, you know, and I guess she misread my thoughts. Thought like, I'm coming. You crazy? You want me to come over and get shot? So you know what she said? She said, oh, I'm not married. I live by myself. So come see me sometime. I just look at it and smile and say, God bless you, and walked him in. You know. In other words, you say, I like what you say. I don't care how old you are. Bring your brother on over here. Cause she said, I'm single. I live by myself. All right. And then you have the gift of prophecy. God wants the Holy Spirit to give you that to you. You know what the gift of prophecy is? Like, prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. In other words, the gift of prophecy, God may say, go tell that child so-and-so-and-so. Tell your husband so-and-so. Tell your girlfriend, a friend girl, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, because that would strengthen the person or they would encourage the person or him and the person doing something they about to do something they had no business doing. That's what the gift of prophecy. That means you speaking for God. God say, the authority coming to you, go to sister so-and-so, tell her this. Go to your cousin, so-and-so. Go to your auntie. Go to your uncle. Go to your dad. Go to your mom. Go to your sister. Go to your brother, your cousin. You tell them just such and such. And it'll be something that will save their life. Something that would hinder them ruining their reputation. How did you know I was going to do that? I said, well, that man you seen, honey, he ain't saying, go, what? How do you know? I said, the Lord just told me, sis, because you know I can hear the Lord. That man is married. You check it out. Okay, then finally, you know, when he came, he said, tell me the truth, Joseph. You married me. Now you need to be honest with me. Because if you lie to me, you're going to be in deep trouble. Yeah, but we separated, you know. We're not together no more, that kind of lying stuff, you know. So prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. Let me say that again. You have the gift of prophecy. That means God is speaking to you as a messenger for him to go to somebody and tell them something about themselves or to help them out. I got three words down here. So prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. Would the Holy Spirit give you the gift of prophecy? And the gift help you, it strengthens you to help somebody. It gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you words to encourage somebody who needs it. Somebody coming, honey, you won't believe it. They call you. The only person I can share this with is you, you know, because you seem to be the real thing and everything else. See, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. So the gift of prophecy, God strengthen it. He will use you to strengthen that person because you don't know what's wrong. You're going, but every time you open your mouth, you speak with love, and then the person, man, before you did, the person jumping jack, just laughing and crying and everything else, when you didn't know secretly they were planning on committing suicide. And you were the last thing that she wanted to talk to. But God gave you the word, do your obedience. You save a life, you didn't even know it. Prophecy is God gives you would use you to speak to somebody for him. And the purpose of you strengthen that person, also by him or herself. You encourage that person. God, the Holy Spirit tell you, them thoughts start coming in. You know what? Let me tell you. So. And when you did, they tell me, Lord, that show was heavy with today. Oh, man, where'd that come from? Man, God, thank you, Lord, and not knowing that all the words that came out your mouth, God was putting those thoughts in your head. And the Holy Spirit was telling you what to say to the lady, but you didn't realize you was repeating with the thoughts that the Lord was giving to you. Let me say that again. You will be repeating what the Holy Spirit is saying into your spirit. And you think that's you, and it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit telling you what to say. And what you're saying will encourage that person or comfort that person. I think I got about 10 more minutes. 8:30, 9:30, 10 years. So, and then another gift he gives you called the gift, different kinds of tongues. And that's still relevant today. You hear a lot of people say that's not relevant, but it is relevant. And all you got to look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verses 8, 9, and 10. And then you see verses 8 say something like, charity never fails. In other words, what they're saying is love. Loving, God's going to always love us in spite of our disposition. Charity. But guess what? Then it goes to the other three things. Verse 8 say, It says, charity never fails. The charity means love. Sure, love going to keep going, continues whether you're a hateful person or a loving person, but the love of God still will go on. But here's the three main things. It goes after this. First, he says, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. And then where there are tongues, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. And but the devil make all Christians focusing on that verse. He said, where there be tongues, they shall cease. Now, and there we have people cuss us out, threaten our lives, all about me, brother, and a few others. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Haven't you heard, you dumbass, that the Bible said tongue has feet? Can't you read, you stupid sucker? You got my congregation all upset. You may have just friends, family members. Why are you going around teaching that, man? There ain't no such thing as tongues, cuz. Why are you embarrass me? You know, sometimes you walk around and talking about tongues and everything. And then I say, it's true. Where the Bible says, where there'll be tongues, they shall cease. And finally, I went to the Lord in tears. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. I said, you got all these theologians, you got all these doctor degrees and everything else, and I know the truth because you told me, and you gave it to me. Because I can remember, you know, I don't want to go into my personal history, how I got it, because then I'd be wasting time. So I believe God, and God showed it to me, and he gave it to me. So I want to say this, where there'll be tongues, they shall cease. I said, no, God says, look at verse 8. I say, okay. So what does it say? It says, charity never fails. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. See? All right. What did it say, John? Prophecy will fail. Then he says, define prophecy. And I said, oh, God. Where there be prophecy, they shall fail. So I look up my Bible dictionary, and guess what it says? Prophecy is a special gift that enables a person like you and me, a believer, to bring a word of revelation directly from God under the impulse of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Child, I'm over here because the Lord told me, you know, that you need encouragement and so on. That's true, I believe you, so on, because I just don't want to live no more, so on. That's prophecy, where God will use you to go to somebody and say, God loves you, don't worry about it, and he got your battle, and revenge is his. Do you understand? Now, you get out of that bed, quit being sorry for you. That's prophecy. God told that person, that man, that woman, what to say to that person who was suffering mentally and emotionally. So when it says prophecy, it says, but whether there be prophecy, they shall. It didn't say has, shall fail. The devil didn't touch that one, the second one. And you know what else it says, Brother John, when them guys used to be talking to me? Whether there be tongues, they shall. The tongue will cease. And then John asked me, well, Lord, they all touch anything. He says, you're not reading it. Look at it. So when he got me back, he said, get the New King James Version, the King James Version, in the New Living Bible Version, all get them. So I got them all. And I look at 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. Charity never fails. Charity just means love. You know that. All right, then the three things that's supposed to fail. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Now, remember, I told you, prophecy is you going to somebody that the Lord instructs you to, and you're going to tell them what the Lord told you to tell them. That's all prophecy is. You are just reiterating to that person that God sent you what he wants that person to know. And then, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Well, you want to know about tongues, folks? And then say, see, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there's knowledge, they shall vanish away. See, the devil ain't stupid. Prophecy means that the person is given the gift to go speak to somebody for God. And then tongues. Whether there be tongues, they shall. They say has. And most guys say, because some call us up, God damn, I'll come down, I'll beat your butt, I'm going to do. You telling them lies about congregation and everything. I think they're telling them lies again. He said, well, you show it to me in the Bible. Show it to me in the Bible. So we get the Bible. And I said, now look at it, what it say in verse 8. Not only say prophecy, they shall fail. That just means God used somebody to spread the word or to tell somebody about something. But tongue, it didn't say tongue. It said tongue. I said, where does it read here? It says tongue. I say, sir, you don't know how to read? What you mean? I say, what does it say? I just read it slow. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. But look, he's still overlooking. He said, they that have ceased. I said, sir, do you know how to pronounce S-H-A-L-L? Oh, my God. Whether there be tongues, they shall. I said, sir, it shall past, present, or future tense. Tell me. So you know English, don't you? I says past, it says has, that means past, it's gone. But shall, that's future tense. It's an is, it's a shall. That's, you can look in the dictionary, any dictionary, and you find out they give you 30, 40, just an illustration of what shall mean. Shall and will. Will is future tense too. One says prophecy, shall fail, shall, that's future tense too, and has. Then, and because God's still using ministers, using godly men and women, whether they are ministers or not, they go say something to somebody that God wanted to say and might deliver the person from committing suicide. In tongues, whether there be tongues, they shall see, and I say will, I mean has. And I says, in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through the person. You know what tongues is? I'll give you a little summary. I said, tongues are inspired. Tongues inspired by the Holy Spirit, but spoken by a believer to a person or congregation that requires interpretation. So what I just said was the Lord made somebody believe in tongues and God blessed them with it. And so they're in church, but they usually happen in churches where the pastor all believe, and it doesn't happen where it isn't believed. They just say, tongues inspired by the Holy Spirit, but spoken by a believer, but that's not the person speaking, that's the Holy Spirit. And tongues are just another language. Just like if I say, como esta, mi amigo, como esta, tengo hambre, which means I'm hungry. Yo te quiero, which means I love you. And I go, ¿cuántos años tiene usted? I'm just saying, how old are you? But somebody said, he's speaking in tongues. I said, no, I'm just speaking another language. If I want to say, I love you, I say, yo te quiero. If I want to say, how old are you? I say, ¿cuántos años tiene? The ¿cuántos mean how? ¿Cuántos años mean many? Años. Tiene. Años mean years. And I say, tiene means have you. ¿Cuántos años tiene usted? See, I just said, how old are you? Now, if I say, ¿dónde vive usted? So he's speaking the tongue. You're babbling. That's all this babbling. I say, ¿cuántos años tiene? So I'm saying, how old are you? ¿Cuántos mean how many? Años mean years. ¿Cuántos años tiene? Tiene mean have. Usted, you. ¿Cuántos años tiene usted? You see. So he just babbling. I'm babbling, speaking in Spanish. So when we speak it in tongues, it's a relevant, ongoing language. Sometimes I might go to church on a Wednesday night to see what they teach and everything else. And sometimes I might be praying real low. I go, shikiri, and they're just praying. I'm in the mood. And a white lady look over me, be in front of me, heard me praying. She turned me and said, sir, I said, are you Italian? You look Italian. You look African. I said, Italian. I'm African, man. She said, well, you were telling the Lord how much you love him and how much you pray. And think. I said, I was saying all that. Ma'am, all I was doing was speaking in tongues. She said, I know you're praying in tongues, but the language you was Italian. I said, huh? I didn't know. I didn't know. I'm just speaking in tongues. You know? And sometimes I may be walking in a workout, guys around there, the Spanish guy be fixing around the house and doing everything else. And I may come outside and say, how you guys doing? Okay, yeah, you know. They may be fixing something around the house or mowing the lawn or something. And then I just get the moon out. So, okay, hold up, sir. And I see I'm kind of light-skinned, so they don't know. He go, are you Spanish, Puerto Rican, or are you African-American? I say, I'm African-American, brother. He said, well, you fluent. You speak Spanish? I said, no. I just know some things. She said, well, I said, oh. I said, y'all heard me praying. I didn't know that. I know what I was saying. He said, yeah, you've been praying in Spanish. I said, I didn't know. You know, I said, because that's the Holy Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through your mouth, your vocal cords, and everything else. It's not you. And when you speak in tongues in the church, God will use you to be speaking to somebody in that church, a message. He may be speaking to the whole church. But what happened is when you get through, then you say, somebody here got interpretation of what I just said. And somebody may stand up. It could be the janitor. It could be the choir director. Somebody get up. Say, sir, God gave me the understanding, interpretation of what you said. Is it really? He said, and then when that person gets through saying, guess what? Another person will say, that's what he said. Because when God gives you the interpretation, he gives it to two persons so nobody can misquote what I said. That's how cool God is. So when you hear somebody going, shikiri anikata para sokori nakata, that's not John. That's the Holy Spirit. Use me. And sometimes I go, Lord, I'd be glad you give me an interpretation because I sure like to know what I'm saying. And sometimes I guess I just ain't got that level yet. But sometimes when I pray aloud with somebody to hear me, it'll be somebody who can know what I'm saying. They say, you said so-and-so. Another person said, yeah, I heard it too. That's what he said. I said, dog. That's God, you're powerful. Okay? So, and then you look at verse 10, it says, but when that which is perfect comes, then that's when what is in part shall be done away. Part means we don't know everything yet. We don't have all that kind of knowledge we have, like people with who live with the law and stuff like that. So God give us tongues. So sometimes he primarily used the pastor, and the pastor may, well, let's come to a close. And the Lord say, I ain't through yet, brother. Speak in tongues. You're okay, Lord. You go, Heshekhiriana kutaparaso. Heliala haparasi. Heliana keshekhiriana kutaparasi. Neki. Nohala parayinake. Heshekhiriana kutapalo. Katani alishokoti akaparasiama. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray. And then somebody say, there is an answer. Yes, darling. God told me what you said. May I give interpretation? The other person said, God gave it to me too, because he always do it with two people, so somebody won't lie. And so the person goes, and it would be a blessing and praise in the congregation. God be telling his congregation that he's pleased with them. They love his support. They have support when they get the pastor, and he's watching in these kind of thing, and he loves them, how he's going to bless them in the future and everything else. It's always praise and worship and thanks. How do you thank their pastor? You know, say, your pastor's a good man. You back him up. You're not here to run a church. He is my appointed person. Isn't that something? And then sometimes I'd be speaking, some people say, there's some, she'd get through, and then she'd say, watch how you speak to your pastor. He is my head of the church. He's my leader. He's my choice. You are here to follow him, not to lead him. There are some deacons, one or two, who's always talking behind the pastor. I can't believe what I'm hearing. There might be just a regular member of the church who got that baptism Holy Spirit from another church. You're sneaking around to, because you get up and the Lord be say, if your days will be short if you keep undermining your pastor. He's appointed by me. I brought him there. You are not the pastor. And I say, wow, you know, that kind of thing. And so I shut that person up, and those people who are doing this, see, but because it's not us who's speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking, and especially boy when the pastor get it. Now I'm gonna tell you this: just because the pastor don't speak in tongues, that don't mean he's going to hell. That just gives God gift to those who believe in the morning. Some people just don't see the need for it and everything else because that's just their heart or their spirit. God ain't got a problem with that, you know. But I'm just saying, if you say, man, you'd be surprised, because just when you said the benediction, God said, I ain't through. I want you to speak in tongues. Okay, Lord. And God would give two people in the church who don't know the names to be able to give the interpretation. You say, okay, I'm going to step out, Lord. You, hey, folks, the Lord got something to say to you guys. In the name of Jesus. No katiene beri kita paroso ko holy ande kisi kiriya kara paroso nakara dehiti ana parasi kiti aloko paroso ko tiyane ishi kiriya de kita parasa. And then the person get up, and the person be given words of encouragement and blessing to his congregation. It's cool, y'all. Those are the gifts, but the devil don't want you to know it. So tongue has not ceased. The last thing, verse 10, is say, when that which is perfect come, who's perfect? Jesus said, I'm the one perfect. So I use tongues because I'm still speaking to my congregation through those people who speak in tongues. My Holy Spirit will speak in tongues through my vessel to the congregation or to two or three people. He might be at the hospital. And then God want to witness to that person laying in that bed about to die or whatever. And then say, honey, the Lord got a message for you. She said, yes, pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, brother so-and-so. Yes, uncle so-and-so. Yes, auntie so-and-so. And she give me a hand. She said, Kitty, I'm going to put a kata para yisi kiti e ka para so kutiana. Ke si kiti a ka para so kala pariane. Ke si kiti ama. In Jesus' name. Like that. And then the Lord turned around and get that same person interpretation. Says, I just got the interpretation. And then you say what the Lord was saying to her. God's good. God still gives some people the gift of working miracles. Some to give the gift of faith, and some to give of interpretation of tongues. So I want to close by saying this. God has his gift for you. He wants you to be sold out to him completely. Don't play games with God, because God knows we do God. Some of you, if God decided to take your life now, you go to hell. But if you're doing something you got no business doing, whatever it may be, and you're still living, and you think getting away with it, that's just the mercy of God. You know what you're doing. You can't hide from God, can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Think about what I just said. If you get killed in an automobile accident, Damara, some old fool mad at you because you hollering him because he's been driving his car recklessly in front of you, behind you, whatever, and he just driving next to you and just shoot you dead in your car? Because you got fools doing that now. Who you think you are? Bam! You know, that kind of a thing. And so let's just leave it to the Lord. Be honest with him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you who would hurt you, who would jive you, tricking you, and everything else. Now, remember, I said, these gifts, it's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the gift of wisdom, that's the ability to give wise advice for specific situations. He gave you the gift of knowledge. That's about people, circumstances, or biblical truth. You know, like tongue hexes, that's a biblical error. Another one, faith. He gave you the gift of faith. That's enabling a Christian to believe in miracles. And miracles still for us today. He gave you the gift of healing. That means you got that gift where you can lay hands on people at the hospital and they go, who in the world is she? She laid hands on, he laid hands on, and that person, the next day the person, the fever's gone and everything else. I say, oh, that sister so-and-so and child, she go to church so-and-so. Oh, wow. He gives them the gift of miracles. That's the ability to alter the course of nature and demons. And sometimes, especially there, because the person, I don't want you, you know, and I look at the person and say, you demon in the name of Jesus, come out of that woman or come out of that man. You know, the kind of thing, because you know whether it's a demon or the person. The hell with you. You son of a beast, don't get out of here. And I just say, you shut up, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't ask you to say anything to me. Get out of here now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then you got the gift of prophecy. That's a special temporary ability to bring a word of warning from the Holy Spirit under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said? Prophecy. That's when the Holy Spirit telling you what to say. I want you to go to Sister So-and-so's house, Brother So-and-so. I'll go to the hospital and say this to them. So I'll tell you what to say when you get there. And them thoughts start coming into your head. And then the last two to get for the sermon, that's when thoughts come into your head. Now remember, because you're thinking it's not you, please remember this. You don't remember nothing else. There are going to be, sometimes it could be three different things talking to you. It could be the Holy Spirit talking to you. Or it can be a demon under the leadership of some Satanist boss that tell you to do something. The flesh. The flesh still lives because you can see it. That don't mean you're going to stop having sex. you have to pray and fast to get that over with. You get to ask the Lord. Because if you're doing long enough, then you got a demonic spirit. And you hear yourself, I ain't giving up, man. You know, after all, God, no, I'm human. We are only human. That's the lie that the devil tells everybody. I remember he used to tell me that lie when I was about 20 and 30. Yeah, we human, man. I'm supposed to run over me crazy. You know, but why he give me a blah blah blah? Not just to have a child. My God, man, I'm supposed to live to be 100. You mean I'm supposed to walk around here a virgin? He said, boy, if the Lord could, the Lord probably would have slapped me from here to kingdom come. But I finally came to my senses, you know. Yeah. So the gift of discernment, that's the ability to judge people, you know, where they're coming from. Especially when you be trying to figure out who's talking to you, the gift of discernment. That's me. And from now on, when you start thinking things, I'm in the car going home, in the bed, laying there, or watching TV, or just sitting in the kitchen, dining, and thoughts started coming to your head, you know. Oh, he's a good person. I kind of like him. You got to remember, just because you're thinking that and it sounds good, that don't necessarily mean it's him. I mean, it's you. That's the demon setting you up, you see. Or sometimes it could be the Holy Spirit letting you know that man or woman is the right person for you. You know, I just feel like, he's a righteous man. He's a godly man. He's the real thing. So. See, and they can be the Holy Spirit telling you. But then, when you get those thoughts, you check them out, you know, and don't fall for smart, cool words. See where he's going. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where he's at. Holy Spirit says, "I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. I don't want to just jump in your business. I'm glad you asked." And then you got speaking in tongues with the last one. That's when God will use you to give somebody words of encouragement. You know, like I could be in the hospital as a chaplain, and the person I don't know walk in that room. But I didn't know that person was a spirit-filled believer, you know, a charismatic type, could speak in tongues and had the gift of interpretation tongue. I walk in the room, say, "Honey, hello, who are you?" I said, "I'm Chaplain John." "Oh, hi, Chaplain. I'm glad that you prayed for me, please." And then I said, "Well, let me," and then the Lord said, "Speak in tongues." I'm okay, now I don't know the truth. So I said, "Honey, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit pray for you because you know, because I know you go to a full gospel church. So, and you know that when I speak in tongues, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit using my vocal." She said, "Yes, I know. I've been speaking in tongues for 12, 15 years. Okay." And God gave her the interpretation. He said, I love you, my child. You won't be here long. I have a purpose and a plan for you. Don't you worry about it. I'll have you out of here before you know it. I just want your attention. You know, so, and the woman started crying. And I'm saying, she's interpreting. God's giving her understanding what I'm saying in tongues. And I don't have the slightest idea what I'm saying. But God gave her the ability, like if I'm speaking in French, and God automatically just blessed her by having her understand French for that moment in time. Well, I think about that I'm running out of time. So I just want to say God bless you. And remember, focus on 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. That talk about the gift. They're still for us today. They do like I did. I was raised a Methodist for 20 years, and I was raised a Baptist for 20 years. Yeah, I raised for 20 years as a Methodist because I came from a Methodist family. When I married my wife, she was Baptist, and I didn't want her to switch over so I joined her church. And unfortunately, that church where we were going to, he didn't believe in speaking in tongues, stuff like that. So she prayed about it. She said, let's go somewhere else and see. I said, okay. And we went, and where she went, man, the Holy Spirit, God says, the pastor said, just go down there and talk to the Lord because you don't know what to believe. She said, I don't know because, you know. So she went down there and prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, for real, then give it to me. And next thing I know, and God gave it to her and my children. He gave it to my children when they were like 7 and 5 years old. And they started speaking in tongues. They still speak in tongues. Love the Lord with all their heart. And sold out completely. Sold out. God bless you, y'all. And Spirit is wonderful. And you want to have a personal relationship. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I got to go now. But I'm sending someone just like me, which means I love you, you know. And he's just like me. And next thing you know, they saw him being raised up, going up to it, and being escorted by angels. They saw angels coming down and escort Jesus back home to heaven with his Father, sit on the throne. God loves each one of you. Remember, just sell out to God, period. You ain't missing nothing. Nothing. I thought I did. I ain't miss a doggone thing. You know? So God loves you. I don't know how many times he's going to say that, but he does. And y'all be blessed. And so the next time I'm trying to figure out whether I talk about demons or I should talk about the kingdom of God. What's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan? I got a comparison, both. I compare them and the two types of judge. One's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's when Jesus going to judge one day all the believers. Then you got the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is when everybody got it who has sinned, died in their sin, are still living their sin when he comes back, and they'll be judged called the great white throne judgment. And I got God gave me this teaching on all both of them. The judgment seat of Christ, that's when all the saved folks will be standing for Jesus when he comes back. But he's going to correct us and say, you did this, y'all did so and so and so and so and so. And that wasn't, but you asked my forgiveness, but I want you to know that that was evil, so and so and so and so. He corrected us and everything else. But he said, but I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm just saying that that's how come you're blessed because you stopped doing that. But when the great white throne judgment comes, that's when all folks are going to hell thinking, hey, Jesus here. And they go, hey, it's a judgment. And it might be millions and billions of people from all races and everything standing before God, or Jesus standing on the throne. And he says, hey, what is this called? It's called the great white throne judgment. He said, white means purity and everything else. Great white throne judgment. He's just going to judge us. We finna get into heaven, y'all. Look, because we already there. We in the spirit, see? And we said, and the great white throne judgment, God can say, God just said, depart from me. He'd tell them. He just called out all the sins. He said, you did this, you did this. When he called out the sins, they automatically know that. You're speaking to them, and you never ask my forgiveness. You rebuked me. You never believed in me. You missed people. You killed people. You molested people. You lied to people. You did all these. You stole from the church. You stole from your parents. You committed fornication. You committed adultery. You committed bestiality. Bestiality means having sex with animals, like them farm boys, having sex with animals and all that stuff. And then he says, depart from me. Them folks be screaming in a second. They're out of his presence. They're in hell. He ain't got to go get lined up. Now we're going to march you down to hell. And Jesus just said, go. In a second, you're out of his presence, right into hell. Just that quick, in a second. God bless you. I love you all. Good night, everybody.